Hello and welcome to the Pondering Scripture podcast, where we'll open God's Word and let Him guide our lives. I'm your host, Jeremiah Cox.
This is the second episode in our topical discussion of pondering COVID-19, where we're taking a break between James chapter 3 and James chapter 4. And if you haven't listened to the first episode in this topical discussion, I will just preface this study. It's really not super important that you would go back and listen to the other. You can follow along just easy from this one, although I would encourage you to go listen to those podcasts. I certainly appreciate you listening. I certainly appreciate your interest in these things and your support of this, and I hope it will be beneficial to you. But I'll preface this with the understanding that we have been doing some in-depth studies. Our study of James has by no means been on the surface. I've tried to get some depth to it. It's a rich book, and I want to bring out some of that richness if I can. And so it's been a little more technical. We've done some exegesis. We've looked into the passage, and hopefully I've made it practical. But this is really going to follow a different pattern, if you will. It's going to be cut out of different cloth, if you will. We're not going to be as rigid in our flow of things, if you will. This is just more of a conversational approach to it, and so just understand that. I would invite you back to other more deep studies, if you will, in-depth discussions of Scripture. Although this does have the scriptural, or rather spiritual, slant obviously to it. I don't want to talk about the technical components of the virus. I don't want to talk about political things at all, ever, really. That's not a great interest to me in the first place, and it really has no place in spiritual discussions, I don't think. And so that's not really what we're doing here, but I want to just think about, ponder, if you will, some of the things we've seen in regard to this pandemic in the lives of Christians and in the church and in various local congregations, what we've been able to observe some doing and some not doing, and some of the good things, but also we need to be honest with ourselves about some of the bad things. And consider just in this episode some of those good things that I'm sure you've observed yourself and been familiar with and have experienced yourself. You know, we can start to take some things for granted as Christians. And I speak for myself and about myself in saying that. We were just able to assemble whenever we wanted. You know, obviously the Lord commands us on the first day of the week, but we had gospel meetings. We assembled on Wednesday nights at Elm Street to study God's Word together and then have a short period of worship after our regular Bible classes. And, you know, that just was the norm. We did it all the time. And I think that we appreciated it, certainly. But I think that we will not soon take it for granted again, and we'll have a greater appreciation for these things. And what that does is it does two things, in my opinion. It does two good things for us. One, it kind of gives us a different insight into our own appreciation or lack of appreciation for the blessings God's bestowed upon us as it pertains to the assembly of the church and those gifts that Christ left when he led captivity captive, Ephesians 4 talks about, and the availability of Bible classes and listening to sermons and being there with the brethren and worshiping God and edifying one another in that design of God for his people. It'll wake us up to a greater awareness of whether we appreciated that or we didn't appreciate that. But either way, the second thing it does is it gives us a greater appreciation for it. When we don't have something that we've grown accustomed to, especially obviously those things which we treasure, and it's taken away from us, and we don't have it for some time, we grow in thirst for it. We long for it. We desire it all the more. And that's something I've seen. It's something I've seen in myself. It's something I've seen in my brethren here at Elm Street in El Reno, Oklahoma. is something I've seen all over Facebook, over the internet, of those who are Christians. They want to worship, and they're eager to get back to the swing of things. And some of us have been able to, some of us have not been as fortunate, living in areas where they're a little more strict with these things and shutting down and not able to get back to worship yet. But being kept from our regular ability to assemble and be with brethren has naturally intensified our thirst for God. And we need to be reminded of Jesus' words of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those who compose the kingdom of God are characterized by that intense hunger and thirst in the first place. And unlike natural hunger and thirst, that's got to be cultivated. You know, all you have to do to get hungry and thirsty physically is go without eating or drinking. Your body needs it, and you're going to long for it, and you're going to want it. But spiritually speaking, you've got to maintain that spiritual perspective. You've got to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You've got to be thinking spiritually and not fleshly. You've got to continue to feed that appetite in order to have it. It's something that will waste away if you just leave it alone, where if you leave your physical appetite alone, eventually you're going to grow a physical appetite because your body needs food. But spiritually, your soul needs daily food. But there's a different way of coming to that realization than there is physically. The spiritual warning systems are only going to accomplish what they are designed to accomplish with the one who in free will subscribes to them and appeals to them. And so, if you've tasted the Lord is gracious, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, then desire the pure milk of the word. But you're only going to taste that the Lord is gracious if you continue to consume the Lord's word. And so, in other words, we've got to keep feeding it. We've got to keep cultivating that, or else we'll never be hungry for it again. And so we've always got to be that way, but when it's taken away from us and the spiritually minded person wants it in the first place, then it grows that hunger. Consider Psalm 42. I preached a sermon on this at the beginning of this pandemic that was live streamed on Facebook. So you can go to the Elm Street Church of Christ page or even my personal Facebook page here, and you can consider that sermon on what I titled as the deer, because of the psalm we are very familiar with. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now we pause there, and we understand obviously there's something there with the psalmist. He has an intense thirst that he's not really able to quench in the way he intends to quench it. And verse 4 enlightens us as to his situation. He's away from the assembly of God's people. He's not able to come to the house of the Lord like he used to. He's in a foreign land. That's why there's people mocking him. Where is your God? Where is God? In verse 4, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go to the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. The things he remembers in the first part of that verse are the things that she goes on to enumerate in the latter part of that verse. And he pours out his soul within me is a description of intense anguish and sorrow. And what he's doing is, in a time of being kept from those things he treasures and values the most, he's moved to intense sorrow because he doesn't have them anymore. But the psalm progresses, and I'd encourage you to read that on your own time, to basically him waking himself up. Don't be cast down. Don't be so sorrowful. Hope in God. And so when we're kept away from these things that we love so dearly, those times of sorrow and loss really help us to further appreciate what we had before. And there's a blessing in that. And I think I've seen this. I've observed this in Christians during these times. Where, yeah, we're trying to cope with not having these things. It's not fun. It's not good. Like Hebrews 12 talks about, it's painful at the present. But we are cultivating a greater thirst for God, especially for the assembly of the saints. And when we get back to our regular swing of things, even though we're able to assemble at Elm Street, we've not yet got back to a regular schedule where we're always able to be there as usual. When we get back to that point, and we're going to, we need to remember how sorrowful we were when we didn't have it. So in good times, we need to remember the bad, and in bad times, we need to remember the good. And it works together. It plays off of each other, and I've seen that. People have such a great thirst for God now. And what this has done is it's led to many supplying studies for all to see and participate in. And certainly it's been for the respective churches, those local groups and their Facebook pages, the evangelists and elders and some of the members and men have been given to offering these studies, and scriptures have been being posted and articles being written and all of these kinds of things. And live stream Bible studies have been regular and even more so than ever before. And they have been mainly for those specific congregations, but have been available to the public. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. My wife and I have been listening to so many more sermons than we were before. And it's kind of ironic because we're in a time where we're kept from assembling, yet we're hearing more preaching and Bible study. And maybe that should wake us up. Maybe we should continue this after all of this gets back to normal. Maybe we need to be doing this on a regular basis. But either way, that's some of the good we've seen. You know, it reminds me of what happened to the church and their adversity in the first century in Acts chapter 8 when Saul, who eventually, obviously, as we know, became a great warrior of faith for the Lord, was at that time not a Christian, and he was persecuting the church. And it says in verse 3 that he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And in Acts 8 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." We always need to maintain the perspective that this pandemic, any bad thing that happens to anybody that would bring on the temptation of falling away from God, is a work of Satan. Think of the story of Job. That helps us with that kind of understanding and grasping how the devil works in some ways. But God is so powerful that those who places their faith in Him will not be moved to fear and shying away from doing His will, but these things have a way of bringing out the best in people. They also have a way of bringing out the worst in people. But God's people, as being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, it should be bringing about the best in us. And we've seen that. Like the first century church were persecuted and scattered about, they didn't shut up. They went about everywhere preaching the word. The Apostle Paul had something to say about this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8 when he encourages Timothy to hold fast the pattern of sound words and stand strong in the grace. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. And I think we see that in this. I don't think that there's been, in all of the shutdowns and stuff, any sinister motive behind the officials and the governing representatives of our states and countries, local government, national government, all of that kind of stuff. I don't think that there's been anything sinister. Maybe that's brewing. I think that we maybe can see some things, but that's a different discussion for a different time. Let's just be aware of that and be on guard. But I don't think that there's been anything sinister behind it originally. But certainly there always has been with the devil. He sees COVID-19 as an opportunity to distance members of the church from each other and from God to the detriment of their faith. But one thing that he can never do is chain down the Word of God. It will always be available. It will persist by God's power expressed in His providence. I mean, you think about that. Through 2,000 plus years, it is the most substantial and grounded work of antiquity that there is. It blows all other manuscripts of secularists away, of secular writings. It is something that's been preserved by God's power throughout the ages, and that's going to continue to happen. You can't chain down the Word of God, and I think we've seen that expressed within the church. So many have been given to studying God's Word and putting those studies out there, and you know what? It's not just brethren that are seeing these things. My wife and even her sisters and some of her family have indicated how some who they graduated with or family friends or other people who aren't Christians have tuned into the live stream of our sermons and have been listening to sermons. And I think that some of us, at least I can speak for myself, that I have tried to take advantage of that platform where these studies are being out there, where those who aren't Christians have been tuning into them and can tune into them and putting out some more fundamental principles of faith and how to be saved and all of those things. And these things are going a long way. And even if we don't see the fruit right away, the seed has been sown, brethren, and that's a good thing. And while all of this kind of stuff can be going on, even when we get back to normal, maybe COVID-19 has shocked us into an awareness of the tools we have and of how easy it can be to get these things out there. And I've been encouraged by it. I know God's been glorified by a lot of the things that have been done in the preaching and teaching of His Word. You know, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet Paul, and it is to buffet us as well. But nothing but good comes from God. And so while this negative doesn't come from Him, God can use it for good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. You know, in Romans 8 and verse 28, we read that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And while that obviously includes just the gospel planned, all things is not everything. All things is all things in the context. The context is about Christians who suffer. And Paul in Romans 8 and verse 18 said, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And just 10 verses later is what we just read. All things work together for good to those who love God. Part of the gospel plan to save men is the endurance of tribulation. That is a part of God's plan that we cannot avoid. No one's exempt from that. Everyone goes through it. And these trials can strengthen us. They'll either strengthen us or weaken us. And we've seen some incredible responses which show the strengthening of those of the precious faith in the gospel. We've also seen some things which indicate a weakness in faith. And we'll talk about that in next podcast. But just there's been so much good that's come from this, as bad as it's been. And we need to not hang our heads down, but we need to lift our heads high and realize what good can come from this and what good has come from this. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to be pondering God's Word, meditating on God's Word all of the time. And that in relation to the events we go through each and every day. And we need to think about how good COVID-19 can be for the people of faith, just like any other trial. And I think there's been a lot of good that's come out of it. We've seen, as I've mentioned, so many being exposed to the gospel, even if they're not Christians, through Facebook Live and all of these other different conferencing softwares that have been utilized by brethren across the globe. Christians have learned to appreciate, furthermore, the things that have been taken away from them, like the ability to assemble with the saints. In Psalm 122 and verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I believe that was true for most of us before this time happened. And it's even more true now. How much more do we look forward to going to worship? And you know, in Hebrews 10:25, the Apostle Paul, or rather the Hebrew writer, addressed the problem within the brethren there of forsaking the assembly. Some have made it a manner of their person. It's a habit for them. And that was willful sin. And they were basically disdaining the sacrifice of Christ and not considering their brethren who have been bought with that precious blood. And this time apart, giving us more of an appreciation for the assembly of the saints, maybe will not soon return, to that forsaking of the assembly. We certainly shouldn't. I think that's some good things that have come from this. It's given us greater appreciation for it. And maybe before, some have failed to see the great value in Bible study, but in the copious amount of studies that are available now, and maybe they've been given some time to them, maybe they're starting to see how good that is for their faith. I mean, that's such a fundamental thing, but maybe some things like this are necessary to wake us up to those realities. But there's been a lot of good that's come from this virus. Been a lot of bad too. But as Christians, we're eternal optimists, and let's try to see the good in things. But as we'll get to in next episode, also understand that Satan can use these things in ways that we might not even be able to comprehend right away for evil. And we need to be on guard for that. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8 says. And brethren, none of us are above that. And so in all of this, while we're trying to see the silver linings, we need to not step out of those boundaries God has set for us. We need to make sure this is not destroying us, but it's building us up. And our decisions can lead to either one of those ends, for good or bad. And I've seen a lot of good, but we've also seen some bad as well. And I hope that this consideration of the good was encouraging to you and beneficial to you. But I've also would encourage you to tune in for our next and final discussion of COVID-19 for this topical discussion between James 3 and 4 so that we can consider some of the things we need to be warned about and be careful about. I hope that you have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Pondering Scripture. It may be that you have some questions or comments. If so, don't hesitate to email me at jeremiahstancox@gmail.com. I hope you have a blessed day.